Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We've been talking about the documentary and the documentarian. There you go. Matt Hamacek, director of Dynasty, the New England Patriots, on Apple TV for the last couple of weeks. Boomer had a chance to interview Matt for Game Time and said, man, we got to have Matt in studio. So Matt Hamacek is here. Very fortunate to have him in studio today. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're doing great. So obviously this has been a big hit for you and Apple TV Plus. When you released this thing, did you expect it to go over and be as popular as it has been?
Well, okay, look, I mean, anybody who knows the numbers with football knows that 91 out of the top 100 TV programs every single year are NFL-related content, right? Even the draft sometimes outperforms, you know, like NBA finals and things. I mean, it's like, it's remarkable. So that was always the hope, but obviously, you know, it's exceeded all of our expectations, and it's really been interesting to see the feedback we've been getting.
So the feedback.
Yeah.
The feedback from the Patriot fans.
Oh,
I guess that would be somewhat negative, you think?
I would say so. I know not all of them. I think it's the vocal minority, right? And they're always the loudest and make the most noise on Twitter and social media. But, you know, it's been mixed. It's like some people want to sort of live the fantasy that everything was great and peachy, and then other people want to see what really happened in the unvarnished telling of the New England Patriots story, and that's sort of what we all set out to make.
So how many people did you interview?
About 70 plus players, coaches, front office execs, Goodell, rivals. Strahan, obviously, was an incredible interview. Mike Martz. So it was all over the place. And it was good for me because I wasn't a fan of the team. I'm a Packers fan. And so I just got to listen to these guys tell their stories and say, you know, what was it really like to be there, and sort of take me into the room as this stuff is happening, as the good stuff happens and they create this incredible machine, and also, you know, the part where it all falls apart at the end.
How many hours of interviews did you do?
Well, everybody was about 3 hours a pop. So, and then some people were like 15 hours. So, I mean, it ranged, but then in addition to that, 35,000 hours of archival footage, like to give you a visualization, so you could fill up two Mack trucks with the tapes that we had to go through and find these little nuggets in.
So you said you actually did talk, and I know you did because I've seen it, but you did talk with Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
You talked with Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, and of course Tom Brady. I guess the four most important principals when it comes to kind of putting this whole thing together and trying to wrap your head around all the things that were going on. Do you feel like all four were truthful with their answers to your questions?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they all really got into things in particular that they really hadn't talked about before. And so, you know, there were times when Bill Belichick didn't want to answer certain questions and he would just say, I've already talked about that before. There were also times when Bill would come in and he had a great story about, you know, calling up Randy Moss at a club when they were trying to get him. And Randy thought that somebody was on the other line impersonating Bill Belichick. And we have both of them telling that side of the story. And it's great. And so, like, there's two sides to Bill. But Tom, in particular, I think is more vulnerable in this interview and more revealing in this interview than I've ever seen him before. So it was great to be able to sit across from all of those people.
Talking to Matt Hamacek, he's director of Dynasty on Apple Plus, and it's the New England Patriots story. So getting all these guys to participate can't be easy, especially guys like Roger Goodell and Bill Belichick, who don't love to talk about everything. So those initial conversations and getting them to do the show and the interviews. What were those like?
It's the same as it is on every project. When I did Tiger for HBO back like a couple years ago, we didn't have anybody on the inside, right? So we didn't have Tiger. We didn't have his inner circle. But you talk to people that were, in that case, on the outside sort of looking in, and in this case, all the insiders, and you say the same thing. You know, we're going to tell the unvarnished story, but we're going to be fair. And when they say, well, how am I going to be, you know, portrayed here? And I said, somewhere between the puff piece and the sort of the hit piece. And in between those two extremes is where the truth is of most of us.
Now, your reputation in the business already with the Tiger documentary, Amanda Knox, that stuff, when you go to someone like Roger Goodell, that's got to help with credibility or no?
I don't know about that. I think it's really just talking to people and just saying, you know, look, this is going to be fair. We're going to ask you questions about all sorts of things. And he, you know, he knew that some of the things that I wanted to talk to him about were Spygate and Deflategate. And because he was the one, I wanted to know, like, how he first heard about it. You know, what was his initial reaction to it? And with Deflategate in particular, I think I was most interested in this idea of it being almost farcical in nature. The fact that this thing consumed the nation basically for almost 2 years, over 2 pounds of air pressure, and the reports that were wrong, and then just like the spectacle of it all.
Did you ever find the guys who actually were the equipment guys that were handling the football?
No.
Where are those guys?
I have no idea. But no, you know what? So I found a piece of archive early on. It was from the Today Show, and it was of Matt Lauer, and this is about like a year and a half into the story, and he goes, we lead our story, our news today with the story, the ongoing Deflategate story, and he talks about it for a little bit, and then a couple minutes later he goes, and in other news, 2 hostages have been taken by ISIS. And so it was like, wait.
The 2 equipment guys?
Yeah. So the thing, that was like a light bulb going off moment of just like, okay, this isn't about did he do it or did he not do it? It's about just like how ridiculous this whole thing became.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. You know, and I was thinking, so you have Spygate, which is basically right at the feet of Bill Belichick. Mm. He's the one that's running the Patriots. He's the one that is basically saying we need to see all these videos of these coaches and everything else. Eric Mangini. What happened between the two of them, and why did Eric Mangini decide, in your eyes, to expose all of this?
Well, I mean, that's a question for Eric. I think that what I saw, and what Michael Holly is a great journalist in Boston and gave us a great interview. What he talked about is this idea that everybody says, well, when I get to the top, I'm going to be the guy that doesn't change. You know, when you win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, or you find any kind of success at that level, that you're not going to change. But as Michael Holly says, you do. And what he talks about with Belichick is hubris and thinking that, you know, you're above the rules. And so the thing that, you know, was interesting about the Spygate thing was that he knew that this guy who had witnessed him, that the Patriots doing these things, had gone to the rival team and knew about this. And here's what was interesting about it. And this is one of the things we didn't cover in the story, was that, you know, it has been reported that in the year prior, in 2006, that the Patriots had caught the Jets doing it to the Patriots at Gillette. And then there were even further rumors that, you know, perhaps, you know, Mangini had even called Belichick the week before they played and said, hey, don't do this to us when we come. Don't do this at the Meadowlands. And then there was this feeling of, you know, Belichick still did it. And so that's where the idea of hubris comes in, a little bit of like, you know, I don't care, I'm going to do what I do. And see, this is the interesting thing about Belichick, right? The origin story of the Patriots is, here's this guy, everybody's saying, stick with Drew, don't go to this new guy named Tom Brady, even when Drew comes back and he's healthy, but Bill is a maverick. That's like his superpower, is that he doesn't listen to what everybody else is saying and he does what he thinks is best. And sometimes, like, our greatest gifts are sometimes also our weaknesses at times. And so that's, I think, what makes him so fascinating as a character, especially as we get into these later years, is I've had people, you know, in the latest episodes we have is where, you know, players talk about him, you know, biting Brady's head off in front of team meeting.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, I mean, and Brady always would complain to us as broadcasters that you would think that I had never done anything around here with the way that he treats me. But one of the reasons I believe that he was treating Brady that way was to show everybody
else. Message.
To send a message, right, 100%. To control the team. You know, it's interesting because the Drew Bledsoe interviews, mm-hmm. you could feel the anger coming from Drew Bledsoe day.
Yeah,
I mean, he still feels the sting of what happened to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there were two different times that had to happen, right? One is you signed the contract, you're the $100 million quarterback, which in today's dollars is almost like the equivalent of...
Patrick Mahomes
money. Sure. Yeah, exactly. And so at that time... You know, if you went down with injury, you were sort of, it was assumed that you would get your job back. That was the way it was supposed to be. But Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, and he didn't see it that way. And I think that they had seen signs in training camp that year, in the 2001 training camp, that Tom had something, it was something special, and that he had shown improvements. And so they had the opportunity. He came in, and even when he didn't necessarily perform at his best, I think Belichick said, no, this is the guy we're sticking with. Drew comes back, and you can understand it from Drew's perspective. This is my team.
Oh, I totally understand it because I played the position.
Yeah.
But I also understand another thing that is really important to Bill Belichick, and that is controlling the locker room and getting the most out of every single player. So from my perspective, the Drew Bledsoe aspect was he did all of this stuff with another coach, two other coaches, mm-hmm. in fact, Bill Parcells and then Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. And he was bigger than life. He was the Patriots. He was the face of the Patriots. Now, all of a sudden, Bill Belichick comes in. And, you know, he does not want to deal with a $100 million quarterback.
He wants everybody to be equals.
Exactly.
That's the system that he created and sustained for 20 years, right? So part of it is, I would assume, though Bill doesn't say this on camera, is... You know, you don't have a superstar around anymore. And Adam Vinatieri talks about that in the documentary. He sort of says we all got to feel like we had ownership because Tom was just Tommy. He wasn't Tom Brady, the GOAT at that time. And so everybody from the offensive line to the running backs to people like Vinatieri, you know, who hadn't had all those kicks that won the Super Bowls and everything at that point in time, they all felt like they sort of owned the team equally now. And so I think that was part of the appeal of going with somebody like Tom, besides the fact that he was incredibly hardworking, his mechanics were good, and he sort of did what, you know, what the scheme said.
Talking to Matt Hamacek, he's the director of The Dynasty, New England Patriots on Apple TV+. Why do you think the Aaron Hernandez story is like the sixth or seventh most talked about thing in New England Patriots history? It's Spygate, Deflategate, Tom Brady, and Drew Bledsoe, and all of this stuff. And then it's like people are like, oh, yeah, that's right. And Aaron Hernandez killed a bunch of people and then killed himself in jail. It's like, why is that so far down the list?
Down the list, I mean, it's obviously something that people still really talk about. And the obvious reason that they would talk about it is because that doesn't happen very often. But within the team, and that's what I think we had in the telling of the story that was unique, because they've made documentaries about Aaron Hernandez before. We've read the headlines and sort of seen the true crime version of this. I'll never forget, I was interviewing Dion Branch, and we have I work off of a laptop when I'm interviewing, so people can communicate with me. And our producer Vindy Anton, who loves this show and is listening right now, I'm sure, he texted me in the middle of it and said, "I think Dion may know Aaron Hernandez. Ask him about it." And so I just said, "Dion, tell me about Aaron." And in the episode 6, which is where the Aaron Hernandez story happens, you see Dion Branch, and he responds, and he just goes, "We called him Chico Man." And that was the beginning of that. Like, he changed. Like, I saw Dion Branch's eyes and face and complexion change, because we were talking about him being a Super Bowl MVP up until that point. And then what you realize instantly, and this is what really informed how we told the story, is that these guys still to this day care deeply about Aaron Hernandez. They loved him when he was there, and they still haven't really gotten over everything that happened. And so I think that our entire philosophy as we've made this thing was, look, we finally have all these people who are in the rooms. Let's get out of the way and let them tell the stories and not really, you know, put our thumb on the scale of anything and just let people talk. But in that episode in particular, it was extremely important to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, when you talk about Aaron Hernandez, I also got the feeling like they knew that there was something off about him. Like, his teammates knew that this was a guy that was off the rails. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was really not much that they could do about stopping him. And, you know, listen, he's from that area. He had all those bad actors around him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really change. But Bill Belichick decided to take a chance on him.
Yeah, and it had worked in the past, right? They had taken other players who, and, like, let's just be clear, all the warning signs that we're talking about here, nobody had any idea that he was going to be capable of what he ended up doing, right? So it's not like anybody saw signs that would make somebody think, oh my gosh, this person's going to murder somebody someday. And I think what I've heard from a lot of people that I've talked to is a lot of the stuff that was going on is not, is stuff that happens in locker rooms from time to time. People say things and they have bravado and stuff like that. You never know what's true and what's not and things like that. There were warning signs, though. But nothing that would let you believe that he was capable of that. And similarly, when the draft was going on, I mean, the stuff that they, you know, had warnings about were things like, you know, he had gotten in a bar fight in college and busted somebody's ears. He had been smoking weed, things like that. I mean, it wasn't stuff that made you think, oh my gosh, this guy's going to murder somebody someday. So I think they thought, as Robert Kraft said, that the Patriot way was going to correct some things and sort of that he was going to be a guy because he was extremely talented. And and basically Gronk and him together in the two tight end sets was sort of unstoppable. So,
did you get the sense that Aaron Hernandez had CTE issues that were going on, or he was just a straight up bad guy, or was a combination of both? Like,
I don't know. I'm not the type of person that would even say like that there is a bad guy. I think everybody's really complicated, and you know, I don't think I look at it people that way. Obviously, when he finally committed suicide in prison and they did an examination of his brain, they did find that CTE, he had really bad CTE. So yeah, that obviously probably contributed, but there was also, it's, you know, like I said, we're really complicated, so you just don't know what happened in his childhood, and we got into that a little bit and all sorts of stuff. And so it I think a lot of what we were examining here was more about the idea of Football Inc. and the one of the larger questions that I was always trying to answer. Ernie Adams, the director of football research, in our first interview said, every team every year wants to go to the Super Bowl, but not every team is willing to do what it takes to get there. And so that question of what does it take to get there is the thing that I was trying to examine. And I don't think it was just the Patriots. I think that throughout Aaron Hernandez's life, his talent made it so that people were willing to overlook some other things, and I think that's just part of the story of Football Inc.
All right, that's Matt Hamacek. He is the director of The Dynasty. It's a documentary on Apple TV Plus. It's great.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.